you know, over in Israel right now, that they, you know, they've all made it there safely, and that they bless and they come home fed, ready to, you know, spread the word forth for Easter here coming up. So I'm so thankful for him, so thankful for the leadership here that is 100% behind this ministry here, right? This ministry now is so important, right, in the times that we live in right now, right? There's so many broken people out there. There's so many hurting people, right? And probably now more than ever, just the remnants of COVID and the struggle, right, of people that are running to addictions and, you know, what people that are just hurting, right, and that are self-medicating with things. So Hope Recovery is not just an addictions ministry, as you kind of heard from some of the, from Bev and some of the other people that were up there, right? So it's, I'm going to read you our mission statement, and we read this every time we have Hope Recovery. And the mission statement would say, Hope Recovery is a fellowship of men and women who, through the power of Jesus Christ, seek freedom from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We believe a person can be totally freed from bondage through the power of God's indwelling Holy Spirit and the application of His Word in our lives. Hope Recovery is to, one, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Number two, be dependent on the Holy Spirit for personal victory. Number three, apply biblical principles to every aspect of our lives. Number four, provide love and support to those seeking freedom. And number five, encourage one another through prayer. Everything discussed in testimony and personal time in our men's and women's groups should be kept confidential. Hope Recovery needs to be a safe place for people to walk in the light and to be known. So please honor others by committing to this. So we read this, if you're new and you're coming, right, we read this every single week, and just kind of, you know, how we want to, like, think about what Hope Recovery is, and putting scripture to the name would be, like, it's going to be the main theme tonight of walking in the light. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So that's going to be a theme tonight. That's the theme of Hope Recovery, of walking in the light, right? It doesn't matter if you're addicted, if you're an alcoholic, if you're struggling like you lost your son, like Bev just said, whatever you're struggling with, you're looking for fellowship, if you're looking for, right, it's a men's and women's recovery group. So what we do is we'll go through a teaching, we'll have a teaching, and then we'll split off into men's and women's group, and we'll have that fellowship time, which we will do tonight. We're going to split off the men's and women's group. I'm just kidding. Just come on, work with me here. You guys were scared. I know you were. But we split off into men's and women's groups. Women, you know, Carly and my wife lead the women, and Jim and myself lead the men. And it's just a sweet time, right? There's something to say, and I can speak for the men, and I'm sure the women can speak of this too, is when men come together, right? It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're struggling with, right? There's that fellowship there. This is a place where you can be known, where it's a safe place, right? Where you can come out with those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups, those things that have been, you know, on your heart, right, or things that you've been dealing with, to be prayed for, to be come around, right? So, like we always say, iron sharpens iron, and the ladies, the same thing. I mean, God is moving so powerfully in this ministry now, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for this church being behind this, you know, 110%. So kind of how Hope Recovery got started, I mean, if you go back probably 6 years ago, my wife and I sat with Pastor Dave at the time, and we've been coming here for about six and a half years or so, and it was burdening our heart to just want to get into ministry or to get into some sort of counseling, some biblical counseling, something along those lines. We wanted to help people, but there wasn't, like, God, we didn't have the vision. We didn't have those marching orders yet on exactly what that would be. So we left there and continued to pray and to see what the Lord would do. And sure enough, long and behold, Jim, working in the background, was meeting with Pastor Dan and where he was talking about wanting to start a recovery group. So long story short, kind of married together and born was, you know, Hope Recovery. So Hope Recovery, we did start off with doing, we work out of the Life Recovery Bibles, and we were walking through the 12 steps and taking the scriptures that go along with the 12 steps and working through that. But we want to be open to the Holy Spirit, and we want to, you know, as the leaders here in this church, and if you go anywhere in this church, if you're new here, right, it's all Bible, right? It's all the Word of God. As Pastor Dave stands up every week here, line by line, verse by verse, right? And we felt like the Lord was leading us in that direction, as there's only so many times you can go around with the steps and talk about a lot of the same scriptures, so we felt led to start going through the Word. So we started in the book of John, and we'll probably be in the book of John for the next 4 or 5 years, and that's awesome, because the book of John never gets old. It's always fresh and new, no matter how many times that you read it. And I just want to, I'll read you really quick. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." Hope Recovery is a very unique ministry, and that's what people say when they come in, right? It's all focused around the Word. It's focused around prayer. It's because it's Jesus. He's the one that sets us free, right? It's His Word that is the searchlight of our heart to let it go down deep and convict and to search us out of those dark places, right, that we need to be revealed and to be able to walk in the light, right? The Word is the lamp for our feet to show us, you know, in the direction that we need to go in, right? So if you're here tonight and you know someone in addiction or know someone that's struggling or whatever it is, right, we all know someone that's in addiction. We all been touched by someone in a family or whatever that's been in addiction. If you're not, like, grab that person, like, bring them in, right? It's okay for anyone to come, right? You can come, bring that person in, and just sit with that person. Like, you can be their confidant and that friend to that person until they kind of get settled in to the ministry. So please come, and you'll get fed too, because the Word's going forth. So come, bring that person, and sit, right? I mean, there's nothing to be scared about, right? It's an open door ministry, so anyone can come. So that being said, we're going to get into the Word here, and we just are so happen to be starting in John chapter 4. So if you guys want to open your Bibles to John's Gospel chapter 4, So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you that we're able to gather, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we lift your name high in this place, Lord, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh in here tonight. Lord, fill me afresh, Lord. May I just be your mouthpiece and just get out of the way, Lord, and may your word go forth. And may we just have soft hearts in this place to receive, no matter where we find ourselves in tonight, Lord. This is a word for everyone, the addicted, the hurting, even the seasoned Christian that's on the mountaintop right now, Lord. We know that your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. So we just pray that your word go forth and their soft hearts to receive in here tonight, Lord. Just fill me afresh, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in John's Gospel, in chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And I'm just going to read it, and it'll kind of stop and go. But it says, "When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples,
he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So if we back up a little bit in chapter 3 and chapter 2, right, Jesus is doing these miracles. He's turning water into wine, right? He's traveled to Jerusalem. He's met Nicodemus there. He sat with Nicodemus and he talked to Nicodemus about how to enter into the kingdom of God, right? He must be born again, right? So we see that happening here as he's still in Jerusalem. Then he goes over and him and his disciples are baptizing in the Jordan River here. And now we come to this part where it says, therefore the Lord heard, and Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not. He left Judea and departed again. So he left the masses. So Jesus left Jerusalem. He went and his disciples were baptizing as they were there, and John the Baptist was up the river baptizing as well. And it was time for him to go, right? This was time for him to leave, as, you know, the Pharisees and people were starting to come down, right? He left the crowds. He left the crowds to go to Samaria, right? Although the road to Samaria was the shortest route to Galilee, right? He was going to Galilee, essentially, but he had a stop in Samaria, right? Jews would avoid this road. Right, there are many other options. And there was a deep distrust and dislike between many of the Jewish people and the Samaritans. Right, the Samaritans were a mixed race. So there was other routes to take to go to get to Galilee, right? He didn't have to go through Samaria, right? And he leads the masses, right? He has this divine appointment with this woman at the well, right? Before the foundations of the earth, he has this divine appointment, right? And he leaves the masses, and he leaves the 99 to find the one. This one woman who's coming to this well and gives the exact time, as we're going to get to, but he leaves the people to seek out the one, right? That's our God right in here tonight. Like, he leaves the people to seek out the one. If you're lost in here tonight, he leaves the... He's not lost. You're lost. You just have to find him, right? He leaves. He's coming after you. He's been wooing your heart, right? And you've been sitting on the fence for a while. But that's the heart of our God, right? For me, I was something similar too. Was I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did my own thing, right? For 30-something years, God was chasing me down, and I didn't even know it. Maybe that's him tonight. He's chasing you down. He leaves the 99. Jesus longed to be with this woman at the well, right? That's the heart of our Savior, how meek, how gentle he is. He longed to behold her. As Jesus is gathering his disciples in the previous chapters here, as he says, or as John says, that Jesus beheld Peter, right? He beholds you. Like, he looks into the depths of us, right? He sees the potential, right? He longs to behold this woman at the well that he is going to meet, right? He's on a mission to meet. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So we see Jesus here coming on the scene of the well, and it says, Jesus therefore being wearied. And that's I'm thankful for that, right? Jesus, fully God, fully man, right? He experienced fatigue, right? That's what we're seeing here, right? So he is aware of your sorrows, right? He is aware of your pain, Right? He's aware of the ravages of sin and death. He's aware of rejection, right? He was put aside, right? So I'm so thankful for a Savior that's in touch to know exactly how we feel, right? That's our Savior. That's the heart of our Lord, right? He was fatigued and he had to sit down. And it came, and the Bible says, it talks about in the time this was, and it was about the sixth hour, right? The sixth hour at this time was probably, they would say, noon. And it's close to the hottest time of the day. The other women that would come to the well would typically come early in the morning in the cool of the day, right? There'd be some conversation happening, right? All these women would be traveling together in the morning to go gather the water at this well. And you must think why she was traveling there if this is the first time you hearing this portion of Scripture. You know, why would she be traveling there at noontime when it's the hottest time of the day by herself? Right? Maybe she was despised by the other women, and we're going to see why as we kind of read on here. Or she was casted out, right? These women casted her out as she was probably full of guilt and shame as we read on and we're going to see. Right? Do you feel casted out in here tonight? Full of guilt and shame, wherever you're at, whatever you're struggling with, right? Jesus is in tune to where you're at. He's in tune to your hurt, right? He experiences fatigue and sorrow in these things. He knows. He numbers the hairs on her head, right? He's aware of these things. He knows of the guilt and shame, right? And there's no mistake why you're here tonight in the hearing of my voice and talking about this portion of Scripture, right? Because Jesus has a divine appointment with you. This is divine. You're meant to be here tonight. You're meant to be in the hearing of this word here going forth tonight. There's no mistake about it. Just like it was meant to be as Jesus, before the foundations of the earth, planned on meeting with this woman at the well, and just like this is tonight for us. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you speaking with me, she's saying, right? Why are you speaking with me, right? Women were despised back then, right? She's a woman, right? She was despised, and she was Samaritan, right? She was a mixed race. Like, this would be crazy. Like, she'd be marveling at the fact that this Jewish man would be sitting with her and actually talking with her, right? And you could just picture her in the depths of her of thinking of, like, I'm a mess. Like, you don't even know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't know what I have going on inside of me. And yet Jesus is reaching out to her. Jesus was going to meet with her specifically for this reason. And that maybe, again, there's so much to take from this, because that could be us tonight. We could feel so messy, so dirty, have so much going on, been doing this thing, you were out last night, or whatever it may be, right? It doesn't matter. Jesus knows what's going on, and he's here. We see as he is compassionate towards her, right? That's the heart of our Lord. His love draws near. He draws near to you tonight. He's close to the outcasts and the forgotten, right? We should be the same as the church, right? And that's like part of this ministry. If we're talking about drugs and addiction and stuff like that, right? We need to be welcoming of broken people, right? This place is a hospital, right? These people need to come, and that's the beauty about Hope Recovery too, is people can come to the church that don't even go here, that can come into the ministry, and then it kind of can streamline them right into the church as well. It's like a conduit in, and it's a safe place for people to come in and just to start to meet people. And two, if you're here new tonight and you want fellowship and you want to meet new people, come to Hope Recovery. Even if you're a seasoned Christian and you don't struggle with anything and you want to come and pray for people and just be an encouragement, like, we encourage you to come out. We should be a church that draws close, that if someone's smoking out in the parking lot, we're not turning our head and going, you know, let them smoke. Let them come in smelling like booze, right? They need to come. They need to hear the word of God, as Pastor Dave brings forth every single week, right? Let them come, right? We want to see a healthy church here of people that come that are smoking and drug addicted that come in and get washed in the word and sees victory, right? We don't want them to stay there, but it's okay to come in and come as you are, right? Because Jesus does all the washing. He does the cleaning, right? He's not a buzzkill. You just give your life to him and he'll do the work. You don't even know half the time that you've even changed until people are telling you around you, right? It's not like I got to stop swearing, stop drinking, stop doing the drugs, all these things. You just come as you are and he just receives us because he'll take those desires out of you if you give your life to him, right? If you completely surrender your life to him and you walk with him, he will change those desires of your heart. You don't have to physically, although it's obviously good that you want to do that, but you don't, he'll just keep submitting to him, surrendering to him, and he'll do the work. We want to be a church of welcoming, just as Jesus is sitting. We want to be like Jesus as he's sitting with this woman in guilt and shame. It's the heart of our ministry. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And in verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and the cattle? So what we see here in these verses here is Jesus being very patient with her. Jesus here is speaking spiritually, and she's not getting it, right? Because she's carnally minded. She's carnally in thinking of these words that Jesus is saying to her. If only she knew, if only you knew who I was, you would ask me. He's patient with her. He's long-suffering with her. He's not getting frustrated with her. And the water in the well that she is speaking of is stagnant water. The water in that well is stagnant water related to the world out there. In these next two verses, and as we kind of break this open here, this and 15, 16, 17, and 18 kind of go together because the well that she's speaking of or that we're talking about here tonight is the things out there or the things of this world that we look to fill ourselves with instead of with him. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We see the heart of Jesus here, right? Daughter, as long as you drink this earthly well, you're going to be dry. And this earthly well, like I said, that she's been drinking of, or that we're going to read about here in a minute, was all the men that have been in her life. You've been drinking of this well, and Jesus knows. Right? Do you want to drink from this well? Or do you want to drink of my well of grace that will be springing up within you, right? That his well is in us, right? We don't need to continue to go back. We get filled up with the Holy Spirit. His well is inside of us, springing up, springing forth up into eternity, right? As God has put eternity into our hearts. So If we're seeking the well of the world, if we're seeking things outside of Christ and what he would have for us, right? He put an eternity into our hearts. So if we're seeking other things to try to fill that void, it's never going to be done because we got to continue to go back over and over and over again to that thing to try to get filled up again, which is fleeting, right? Ecclesiastes 2:11 says, "Then I looked on all the works," speaking of King Solomon, the wisest, richest king to ever live, says, "Then I looked on all the works." He had everything that my hands have done, and on the labor in which I toiled, and indeed, it was all vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So until you come to Jesus and cultivate a relationship with him, you'll never be satisfied. That's what I did for years. And I think that's what a lot of us in here do sometimes from time to time, right, is we'll seek to fill ourselves with the things of the world, right, whatever it may be. I mean, you know what that thing is. When the hard times come, sometimes we run to those things. We run to those things if we're dealing with hurt and pain, and we're going to get into this in a second, but we run to those things of the world. We run to the alcohol. We run to the drugs. We run to the sex. We run to the porn. We run to whatever it is. You fill in the blank, right? Those are the things that you're running at. We run to buying clothes or buying new stuff, right? The new stuff wears out quickly. You can't buy a new iPhone without another one coming out like a week later, right? I mean, it's just constant, constant. The way of the world is constant, drawing your attention for more, for more, for more, right? That's the well that she's been in. All my life I was chasing the wind, as Ecclesiastes say. All my life until I found Christ. For 30-something years, growing up, like I said, not in a Christian household, I did stuff on my own. I made stuff happen. Man, I dealt with depression. I was in dark spaces a lot of the time, up and down, chasing things of this world, looking to fill myself up, and nothing ever worked. I remember the pinnacle of the point in my life where I thought I would be able to get to, where finally, if I build this house, if I have this wife, if we have these kids and this family, I have this job, we have this money, we have these things, we get all these things. And I remember standing out in my driveway at night by myself. It's all done. We're moved in the house, everything. And I'm standing there, not saved, don't know the Lord. And I'm going, is this it? Like, I still feel a mess. I still feel empty inside. I thought once I got to this place that finally I would be able to be happy. Right, I wouldn't be depressed anymore. Right, and all—it's such a lie. It's all vanity. And that was the beginning of my downfall for me, and when things started to come unravel in my life. Because after that, after I was chasing all of those things in my life that continued to leave me empty, and continue to go to doctor after doctor. Nothing against doctors, if you're a doctor in here, but going to different doctors, taking medications, and all these things to try to, you know, just get to a better place, so to speak, right? And in that moment, when I thought, for all these years, I had these goals for my life, that I was going to stand up, and finally, when I get this stuff, and I achieve my dreams, then I'll be there, I'll be good. But what a lie it was. And after that night was the beginning of the downfall, for me at least, and the struggles that I went through myself and my family as well. Because a lot of times, like, the Lord let me get to that place, and I didn't know him yet, but he also started to take it all down. And little by little by little, all that stuff started to go away. It was taken from me. Even my dog. Even my dog died, all in this period of time. We need to seek him in his fullness. Well, he'll fill us up. We'll have that living water that just continues to spring up. And like I said, until you come to him and cultivate a relationship with him, you'll never be satisfied. And these next few verses here kind of goes hand in hand with that, because you're going to see that this woman at the well is hurting. Right? And like I said earlier, a lot of times when we hurt and when we're in pain and these things, right, we seek these things out of the world. That's why this is in here, right? Jesus, he's the one that needs to fill us. But if we read on here, starting in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Right? She's ready. She wants this water. I don't have to go back there anymore, right? Give me that water, right? She wants the water. And Jesus' response is, verse 16, "And Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come hither.' And the woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and whom you now have is not your husband. In that you said truly.'" She's ready to go. She wants the living water, right? Her spiritual eyes are open, right? She wants this living water. And what does Jesus say to her, right? "Go call your husband." She says, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "True, but you've had five husbands." So remember, she was coming to this well by herself in one of the hottest parts of the day, guilt, shame, isolating herself, right? Maybe that's you, where there's isolation, there's guilt and shame. You've been hiding. But she was ready for this living water, but as soon as Jesus started to touch this wounded area, when he says, "Go get your husband," right, she tries misdirecting Jesus as we read on. So when we read on, you got to come to Hope Recovery to hear the rest, but we're going to finish up here. So Jesus touches this spot, this wounded area. "I'm ready. I want the water. I want the living water. I'm ready." Jesus was not going to accept from her this easy kind of believism or conversion, if I can say that, that doesn't get to the root of her hurt. Right? Jesus loves you too much to leave you where he found you. He knows that the wound you have been carrying will hold you back from experiencing wells of living water springing forth. John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, Jesus talks about not committing because he knew all men. He talks about during that time how he's going around, he's doing miracles, and as he's doing miracles and healing people, he's telling him, "Hey, don't go say anything to anyone. Like, just keep that between us," right? I'm paraphrasing here. But the reason being, right, people were being mesmerized of all these miracles and signs and wonders of things that are going on, right? And there was no deep-rooted faith, right? These were believers that were probably unsaved believers. So Jesus, in his love, as she is asking for this living water, he says, "Hold on a second." Right? If he could have just given her this living water, she could have been saved and been moving on. But Jesus says, "Hold on a second. I see, go call your husband. He know, like, I see your wounds. I see what you've been doing. I'm coming not for just this, but I'm coming for that." Right? Jesus isn't just coming for, like, he doesn't find us and just leave us, right? He first, we find him, and then he does the cleaning. I'm not just for that. I'm here for that. I'm here for that as well. So if he gave her this living water, maybe she has this fickle faith, right? This believing but not saved. Right, but Jesus loves you too much, right, to leave you where he found you. He loves her too much to do that. Where she could end up going back to the well, maybe, of the world, because the pain and the stuff, the underlying issues of the men wasn't addressed. Right? That's the heart of our Lord. Right? That's what we see a lot today with addiction and things that are going on in our lives, is there's this underlying root that is there because, and that's why you're seeing addicts and you're seeing people doing these things and running to these things, because there's a root there. And the drug addictions and things like that are the fruit of this root. And Jesus, he wants to pull the roots out of us, right? He wants to not just mow over the weeds so they're going to grow back again, right? We're not going to roll out the landscaping fabric here again, and I'm just going to trim the weeds down, and doggone it, those weeds always seem to come back up through that fabric too, even, right? He wants to pull those roots out, right? Pluck them out, the ones that are down deep so they never come back, and he wants to throw them out and drag them into the light. Right, throw them into the sun and let the sun and the light burn them. Right, that's what he wants to do. That's what he's after. He's after all of us. He wants all of us, all of our heart. So fast forward in time for me, from the time of standing in my driveway to the time of losing everything, and then to the time of where there was a point in my life where I felt like if there was a God, that he could help me. Like, if there really was a God, God, if you're real, you can help me. Like, you're the one. Meanwhile, this time, like, people know that I'm a mess. I mean, I've been dealing with depression and things and stuff in my life, and I was in a dark place. But people didn't know exactly what was going on because I was hiding it. I was keeping it to myself. I was trying to keep it undercover. But again, I felt like if there's this God, then he's going to be able to help me. So we start. I tell my wife, I said, hey, I think we want to go find a church. And she almost fell over backwards when I said that. But we got plugged into a church. And in that church, probably going back 12, 13 years ago, is where I gave my life to Christ. I gave my life to Christ, nothing changed. Nothing changed after that. I gave my life to Christ, and I'm saying to him, I can remember even in worship going, God, like, where are you? Like, you have to take this thing from me. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't talk to anyone. I can't tell anyone. Lord, we need to do this now, right? We need to do this on my time. Like, I need this done now. We just got to get this done. Like, I'm going around the gamut trying to hide stuff, you know, from my wife, and, you know, and my kids are kind of hearing some of this stuff for the first time. But I was in a dark place trying to figure stuff out on my own, trying to find that well of springing water on my own. I wanted the blessing more than I wanted God. He would not leave me and let me get away with just giving my life to him. It wasn't going to be my way. After all the scammering and going around the gamut and calling hotlines and trying to just be done in the way that I feel and all these things, and there came a day I couldn't do it anymore, and I broke down, and, you know, I talked to my wife, and that was a place that God has been touching, that he wants to heal, right? Maybe that's in for you tonight, right? You've been running hard, running away. Yeah, you're saved, but you're not walking in victory, right? You're still addicted, you're still running, you're still going after that thing, the men, the whatever it is. But God's after. He loves you. He just wants to set you free from those underlying rooted issues. And I thank God that he let me go through what I had to go through, because it was the hardest thing, if I'm being honest, that I ever had to go through in my life. But I wouldn't change it for a second if I had to go back in time and do it. When we offer our lives over to him and offer the deepest depths of our heart, the dark areas, search me, O God, show me, shine your light in me. That's why we read the word. Shine your light in me, Lord, show me those dark places. When we offer ourselves over to him and surrender and walk with him, right, that's where the blessing is. That's where we get, like, he's calling us into deeper waters. Christian, whoever you are in here tonight, right? He wants a relationship with you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you from the inside out. And thank you, Lord, for not just letting me get saved and then letting me skate out unscathed. Right? Somehow he could heal me in the moment, right? He could do a miracle, absolutely. But I would never learn the depth of his love and his saving grace and power if I didn't let him into my wounds. Right? God can set you free. God can perform a miracle in here tonight. But I challenge you to turn yourself over to him and walk with him and see what he does. He'll make you new. Like I said earlier, he'll change those things inside of you. Those desires and everything. You don't even know. And we'll just finish up here, kind of closing here. In a broken and fallen world, all of us have been wounded. This is important. We learn how to self-protect when we're wounded. Right? We're wounded from some of our own decisions. We're wounded from someone else's decisions, or something happened to you. Something's happening now, right? Something happened in your past, right? We live in a broken world of sin. So again, hope recovery is not just for addicts. So if you're hurting, whatever it is, come in. Come in and be fed and be loved and have fellowship on. We learn how to self-protect when we walk in these wounds. Right, a lot of times we operate out of the wounds that we're trying to hide and keep inside, that we're hiding from the Lord. The Lord knows, but we hide the wounds that are deep inside, and we don't even know it, and we operate out of those wounds. Right, we learn how to self-protect. Right, it's hard to walk in this living water when we have these wounds. That's why Jesus said, go get your husband. Right, we're angry all the time because we're defending, we're walking in these wounds, right? As men, we want to control, right? And when we lose control, more anger comes. We feel like we have to achieve, or we have to prove something to someone, right? Or to my mother or father or whatever from your past, right? That you're successful and you could do these things, right? We're defensive, we wear masks. We come into church, say, hey, how are you? Hey, great to see you. Hi, things. Things are great. The house is burning down in the background, though, right? I mean, isn't that what we do? We turn to drugs and alcohol, this dysfunctional behavior. We put unrealistic expectations on people when they let us down and we push them away. And we're not meant to fight in the shadows, you in here tonight. We're not meant to fight in the shadows. You don't have to fight alone. Jesus is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. There's nothing can ever separate you from his love. Love never changes. He's steady. He's consistent. It doesn't matter where you're at in here tonight. We're meant to fight in the light. And that's what Hope Recovery is about, as we gather together and we fight together and we fight in the light, come around each other, we be known with each other, right? We confess sin to each other and pray for one another and see what His Word would say. So in here tonight, if you have a wound and someone touches it, what do? You protect it and you step away. But Jesus doesn't do that. But He steps towards your wound. A wound hurts. And where someone tries it, you're like, whoa, right? Where are you going with this? I'm not talking about that. A scar doesn't work that way. I can't wait to the day that we're in glory with Him and we're all sitting around and we can talk about all of the things that we've gone through and all the things that He's healed us from and the scars and from the wounds that we had that He's healed. What a glorious day that will be. He wants to heal you. You want springs of living water to spring up in you? You want joy? You want life? Go grab your husband. Jesus says, I know, right? I know this hurts. But I'm here for that. He's here for that. The place Jesus wants to do the most significant work is the place we work so hard to hide. That was me. It's crushing for people. It's crushing for, like, regular Christian people. Like, when we all go through stuff, and we always say in Hope Recovery, everyone needs to be in Hope Recovery, they just don't know it yet. We all go through stuff. It's crushing for people to keep all that stuff inside, where then could lead into maybe running after the world and the things of the world to fill us up, to numb the pain, numb the hurt. Or if you don't want to tell anyone, oh, if they only knew. I can't tell you that because you won't love me the same anymore, and you'll think different of me, and then you won't have grace for me. And then, right? These are the foolish things that we tell ourselves. Worship team, you guys can come up. This is what Hope Recovery longs to do. It's the heart of Jesus. We're the hands and feet. Right? We're just trophies of His grace. Just trying to give hope and encourage, to get in His Word, to pray, to be known, to let these hurts and wounds and things that are out, right, the underlying issues of addiction and things that we run to in our lives, right? There's a deep root there. So if that's you in this place tonight and you want to talk some more, whatever, like, come find me or Jim and Carly and or my wife. We can fill you in on everything. It's Thursday nights at 7:00, every Thursday, 7:00 here. You can subscribe on the Instagram account and follow us. We'll put up, like, what's going to be taught every week, and, like, if there's some reason to get canceled or something, but follow us there. Like, we'd love to have you. We just want to come alongside of you and walk with you. Fellowship. Iron sharpens iron. We want to see people that walk in victory, see God do miracles, because we know He's able. I can't even tell you what there's not even enough time to even go into what He's done in my life since that time when I was standing in the driveway. Yeah, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do and go through, but man, I wouldn't change it for anything. And I'm aware of the struggles and the stuff that are going on here tonight. But I hope that you're encouraged somehow, at least of me even sharing this, that God just restores things tenfold. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me. He's able, he's willing, he wants to, if you would just give your life to him. Full surrender to him. My marriage is something that is never, ever, I could have even imagined it being without him. We can have great marriages, we can have life and be rich and all these things, but you can never have the fullness of life if he's not in it and he's not in the middle of it. He's restored my marriage to something I can never imagine. My kids now, they were younger when I was going through this. They don't really even know, except for my older daughter. But now they know Jesus. We're here with you guys, singing praises to his name. I mean, he's able. I hope that encourages you wherever you're at in here tonight. He's able, he wants to, he loves you. He died for you. He already knows. He knows everything, so why are you running and hiding? So, Lord, I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you. You're so good. Lord, you're so amazing. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here in this place tonight that you're poking, Lord, they're feeling convicted right now, that they wouldn't be ashamed, that they would come into the light, Lord, wherever they're at. Lord, we know so many people are hurting right now, Lord, and we know that you know. Father, I pray blessing over them, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them, Lord. More of you, Lord, and less of us. May we just fully surrender our lives to you, Lord. There's never enough. We just want more and more of you. And life abundantly, Lord, is what you provide. We thank you for you and who you are, Lord, and all that you're doing and continue to do. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.